Psalm 138. We're going to read the entire psalm. The Bible says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. You ought to underscore that right there. As a matter of fact, I'll read it again. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Let's pray. Father, we bless your holy name. Lord, we thank you for the good prayer time, the good fellowship time, but especially the good singing. Lord, our souls have been blessed tonight and uplifted. We thank you for the good testimonies. Lord, folks just bragging about the good grace of God. But Lord, it's preaching time, and even though our souls can be lifted through singing and testimonies, Lord, it takes preaching to strengthen our faith. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us now from the Word of God. And I pray that your people would, Lord, be illuminated in their minds and in their hearts from what thus saith the Lord. God, I'm thankful, though thou be high, you hath respect unto the lowly. And I'm glad you reach way down for us. And Lord, you care for us. Now, Father, bless as only you can. Encourage us, strengthen us, send revival. We'll bless you for it, for it's in the wonderful and holy name of the Lord Jesus we ask it all. Amen. And amen. I want you to notice a few things concerning this Psalm of David. I want you to notice, first of all, David's willingness to worship. Look in verse number 1 again. He said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. David was willing to worship in front of whoever. He didn't care. In front of the gods that other people worshipped, he didn't care. He was going to worship God, and he was going to do it with his whole heart. He didn't do it haphazardly. He didn't back into the worship. He came in with his eyes open and his heart open and his mouth open to give God glory and praise, because David reminds us down there in Psalm chapter number 40 that he was in a horrible pit, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord reached way down and pulled him out of that pit and put him on a rock and put praise unto God in his lips. And he hadn't got over it yet. He still says, I'm going to praise God with my whole heart. Hey, you remember when you got saved? Remember when you couldn't wait to tell somebody about how good Jesus was, what he did for you? Hey, are you still praising him like that? Because he's still that good tonight. We see his willingness to worship. I'm glad you're here tonight, but did you come willing to worship? More importantly, when you leave here, will you be willing to worship out there? Sure. David didn't care where he was. Everybody knew where he stood. He is an example of worship. We see his willingness to worship. Now, I want you to notice why David worshiped. Look at verse number 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name. Why? For thy loving kindness and for thy truth. He said, because of your loving kindness, not because of your wrath, not because your ferociousness, not because that you're all powerful and you're chastening right, but when I deserve to be chastened, you looked at me with loving kindness and tender mercy, and your mercy endured forever. And he said, because of that, and because of your truth, he wrote a whole psalm just on the word of God and the truths of God. We can worship because we have truth tonight. And there's only one way to worship God, in spirit and in truth. And because of his loving kindness to give us the truth, we have cause to worship. He goes on to say this. He says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. We look down on people that cuss the Lord's name. Can I say, God thinks more of his word than he does even his name. And his name is holy. If God thinks that much about his word, how much more should we think about his word? And that we have it. Now look at verse 3. We're looking at why he's worshiping. He said, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Can I say, it's one thing for somebody to help you up. It's another thing for God to strengthen your soul. That shows me that there was a point when his soul was troubled. There was a point when his soul was in a place that he feared. But God strengthened him in his soul. He said, I'm going to worship. He said, I don't care who's around because of what God's done for me. Because of his loving kindness, because of his truth, because he strengthened me when I called on him in my soul. When we see David's willingness to worship, we see why David worshiped, but I want you to notice David wishing for a chance to worship. There was a time when it wasn't as convenient for him to worship. Look down at verse number 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou shalt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. David lets us know he had been in trouble. He lets us know he's surrounded by the wrath of his enemies. He lets us know that in the midst of all of that, he called upon God, wishing for a chance to worship. Don't forget the work of your hands. Brother Lawrence was talking earlier before service about churches that were dead. You know, the only hope for those churches is if they got somebody in them that wishes for a chance to worship and begins to plead and call on God to remember the works of his hands. I don't know if you've ever been a place where your soul was destitute or in a place where it had been so long since you'd had any moisture from heaven and you began to wish to worship, that when God does move in, you'll gladly worship. And I want to focus on verse 7 for a little bit tonight. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Now, we find the word revive here from the state of bringing him out and reestablishing him to where he can worship. Could I say revival is about putting things back in focus, bringing back that which is lost, but it is also taking that thing which is dead and making it alive again. Amen. And can I say, if there's one thing that is dead in our part of the country, it's old-time worship. Yes, sir. I mean, used to, you go to any independent Baptist church in the greater Cincinnati area, and you're just going to find some old-time worship. There's going to be old-time singing, old-time preaching. And nowadays, if you worship like we do around here, they look at us like we're freaks. Yep. Wrong. Right. We've been doing it this way for 2,000 years. Hey. Yeah. You're the one that's changed. Right. But we live in such a day and age where true Christianity is all but dead. Even saved folks act like dead folks. Sure. So we need revival. We need the freshness of God back in our souls. We need that breath from the glory world to energize us and bring us back into a position where we'll willingly and readily worship Him. There's folks that have been in this area for a lot of years. You could go back there and talk to Miss Carol on the back row. She'll tell you about her mom and daddy driving her all kinds of meetings in this area years ago, and preaching was powerful, and folks loved God, and you could feel the presence of God from church to church, and they'd fellowship, and there was just a community of Christians in this area. You'd be hard-pressed to find that today, Miss Carol. See, I've spent some time with her and her mama talking about all those times. Her mama used to think I knew all them preachers. I'm thinking, she's talking about preachers in the 50s. I'm thinking, I wasn't born in 63. I didn't know that guy. But you couldn't tell Granny anything. Huh? But I'm interested in the thought of revival tonight. In these verses, we find the benefit of revival. In verse number 7, we find that He says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me." The benefit of revival is, no matter what trouble we may be facing, revival solves the problem. There is a benefit of revival. Trouble will not trouble you when you're revived. And we see in these verses the blessing of revival. Look in verse number 8. "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." We find the blessing of revival is revival will allow the Lord to do a work that will perfect those things concerning me. Things that I may not understand, and things that may not want to go through, God will use those things to perfect those things concerning me. Used to, the children used to sing that song, "He's Still Working on Me." Miss Marcy sings that song about the potter and the clay. The Lord, when He puts His hands on the clay, He works a perfecting work concerning those things with the clay. He knows how much water to put on the clay. He knows how to get the fragments and the things, the particles out of the clay that's going to mar the vessel. And He knows how to make something beautiful out of something that was ugly. And the blessing of revival is God takes those things that aren't real pleasant, and He does a work to where everybody can see the hand of God did a work there. We see the blessing of revival. We see the burden of revival. Look again in verse number 7. He says, "Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." The burden of revival is we ought to desire to see such a move of God that the wrath of our enemies is silent. The reason I got that phone call yesterday has nothing to do with our folks out on visitation. The reason I got that phone call yesterday is because God's wanting to do a work of revival. And the devil's afraid, and the wrath of our enemies may just be turned on down the street. They don't like it. The devil don't like giving up his strongholds. The devil don't like being exposed. The devil don't like folks being independent of sin and independent of his ways. Hey, the devil seeks to manipulate and intimidate and dominate people, and he don't like letting go. But I got good news. If the Son has made you free indeed. And the truth shall make you free. And hey, the burden of revival, it turns our enemies away. And we are no longer have any filter between us and God. And we can be about the Father's business like He desired for us to be. And of course, we know who the bringer of revival is. It's not Brother Greg. It's not the Lancaster family. The bringer of revival is the Lord Himself. And He's the one we must call upon and plead with to have revival. But this is what I want to preach on tonight concerning revival. I want to preach on how to know you need revival. How to know you need revival. It's amazing. You can preach and you can preach the Word of God, and it's amazing how many people think that somebody else needs that. And they probably do. But how about you? We have an uncanny ability to insulate ourselves to where nothing sticks to us. There's another thought. This Sunday I'm going to preach on Teflon Christians. Huh? Or them skillets, them copper skillets, copper Christians. Nothing sticks, it all just slides off into the sink or whatever, huh? No. Well, used to, the Word of God would penetrate people's hearts. Used to, the Spirit of God would disrupt people to where they couldn't even sleep. But we've got to put place in Christianity to where we don't allow the Spirit of God or the Word of God to do any work on us. We've gotten so callous and so cold and so complacent that we don't even see the need for a revival. You know, most churches don't even have week-long meetings anymore. They don't. Most of them, it's Sunday through Wednesday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And what they've done is they've handcuffed a lot of pastors because, you know, people's schedules won't allow for it. I'm praying that God sends revival, that He becomes the schedule.
Yeah. Amen.
Listen, it's been a long time. I was talking to Brother Greg about this yesterday. It's been a long time since I've seen the Holy Ghost of God do such a work that it just keeps going. I've seen man try and do it, but it's been a long time since I've seen the Holy Ghost move in. And it went longer than a week. And it went longer than 2 weeks. When my granddaddy used to preach revival in the 60s, rare did it go less than 3 or 4 weeks. They'd preach in the morning, preach at night, and baptize all day on Saturday. He'd go to meet, and we'd never know when he's coming home. Nowadays, we got to fit it into our schedule. You know? Blacklist is coming on sometime soon. We got to make sure we're home for that. Hey, that's a good TV show. Don't be throwing off on Red, man. He's my guy. Ever since Jack Bauer retired, I needed somebody else to shoot people up, huh? But listen, isn't it crazy what we let come before God? We've been so beguiled by our own flesh, by the world, by the devil, by modern Christianity, that we think we're okay. Well, how do we know if we need revival? Well, this might be some of the indications that you might know that you need revival. First of all, you know you need revival if tardiness doesn't bother you. Let me say that again. I didn't get any amens at all. If tardiness doesn't bother you, you know you need revival. Now listen, God understands, and I understand if you are providentially hindered. Miss Jackie's prayer request, you know, about Brother Brian's schedule. I would not expect Brother Brian to be here at church till 9:30, 10 o'clock tonight, and have to get up 1 o'clock, go to work, and drive a commercial vehicle in alleys in big buildings. Brother Ray, you'd have to do a whole lot of brick tuck work if he's working on 3 hours sleep every day. God understands that when somebody can't be here. But it still bothers him that he can't be here. There are a lot of folks, it bothers them when they can't be here, and they make certain that I know when they can't be here. There are other people, it don't bother them because they never bother to even mention that they won't be here. When your tardiness no longer bothers you, you need revival.
Sure.
Say, Brother Doug, you saying, I'm not saying that at all. You can't revive something that's dead. I mean, really dead. You got to be made alive before you can ever be revived. There has to be life before you can be revived. Those that are lost can't be revived. And by the way, revival's not for lost people. It's for God's people. But if revival breaks out, as a result, lost people will get saved. Because revived people start doing what revived people are supposed to do, and all of a sudden lost people start seeing a difference. But when your tardiness doesn't bother you, you need revival. Brother Ray hadn't had a vacation in 15 years. And for whatever reason, he decided he was going to take two within a month. It was tearing him up. First, he wasn't going to take one of them. He was going to send Miss Pam on vacation by herself. I said, that's stupid, Ray. Go on vacation with her. Huh? And then he goes, he runs into Florence. He ends up back in Florence. I told you, get right with God, Ray. You could have had a vacation. But it was tearing him up. He hadn't been out to see his boy, and it was tearing him up to go out and see his boy. And I mean, just tearing him up. He said, "Brother Doug, I hate missing church." I said, "Ray, we do have a live stream." "Oh, yeah." It's a blessing when it bothers people when they can't be at church.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a surefire tale about somebody's spiritual condition when it doesn't bother them.
Amen.
When they can't be in church. You might need revival if tardiness doesn't bother you. Can I say this? How to know I need revival, preacher? Well, you know you need revival if your treasures are earthly and not eternal. If all you're concerned about is earthly things and not heavenly things, you need revival. Now, don't get me wrong. You need a house to live in. You need clothes to wear. Thank God you wear clothes. You need cars to drive. You need gas in your cars. You need grocery on your tables. You need things. But when all you're concerned about are temporal things and you're never concerned about spiritual things, you need revival. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 6 tells us seek the Lord first. And Father knows what you have need of. Seek Him first, all them other things get taken care of. The problem is, Brother Tony, when people become obsessed with things more than with the Lord. You just might need revival. If your treasures are earthly and not eternal. By the way, if they're earthly, I got problems with your treasure because they're going to burn up.
Amen.
You know you need revival when your time in prayer and the Word of God are replaced, and then I just put a blank, fill in the blank.
Yeah, that's good.
When anything else supersedes your time with God in prayer and the Word, you need revival. Prayer life is when we talk to God. The Word of God's how He talks to us. Salvation's about a relationship between the creature and the Creator. And when you are intimate with God and you're walking with God, you are doing the works of God. But when other things come between you and your relationship with God, you need revival. Listen. It's not a good thing if something comes between me and Miss Annette. That affects our relationship. It's not a good thing when something comes between me and Jesus. That affects our relationship. And by the way, things might not be sinful. Just might be things. But things become your God if they replace God in your life. Don't have to be wicked to just get in the way. So, if your time in prayer and time in the Word has diminished and time for everything else has increased, you need revival. You know what the first thing happened in revival? People fall in love with the Bible again. People start praying again. People start doing the first works again. People start getting excited about going out and telling others about Jesus again. People start getting excited about coming to church and about the things of God. And they all of a sudden, dawns on them, said, "I've missed this." That's why we need revival. Bring back those things which have been lost. Can I say this? You know you need revival when you learn how easy it is for your ears to tune out preaching. You know why we bring in other preachers to have revival? And I, years ago, folks said, "Preacher, why don't you preach a revival around here?" And I did one time. I felt led to. We had a few nights, and I preached, and so the preachers of the church preach. But you know why I bring in other preachers? First of all, if they're godly men, they're going to come and reinforce everything I've been preaching anyway. But sometimes it's good to hear it from a different voice, because you've gotten so used to mine. It's good to hear the same thing from a different perspective and a different voice. And by the way, I need preaching too.
Sure.
And preaching begets preaching. And I like being around preaching. I like doing it and I like listening to it.
Sure. Amen, brother. Yes.
when you can tune out preaching and it no longer affects you, you need revival. And let me just say this while I'm here. If you can't sit in a whole church service, you need revival.
Yeah.
I know sometimes you got to go, and that's why I've got them back there. But you don't have to go that much. If you do, you got problems. Huh? I'll never forget. Y'all think I'm crazy. I'll never forget. If Miss Lynn was here, she'd tell you. Up until I was a teenager, the church I was raised in, the bathrooms were out back. And only the ladies had a light. So if you had to go, you really had to go. And if you had to go in the winter, you really had to go. Are you listening? I'll never forget. I was a teenager. They built bathrooms in the back of the church. Put in a water fountain. Worst thing they ever did. Every service, everybody had to go get a drink. Had to go get. You got to understand Miss Lynn's brother, my Uncle Ed. Stand up, Jordan. He's about that big right there, Uncle Ed. Well, Uncle Ed, he set up. My grandfather sat on this side. Uncle Ed sat on that side. Uncle Ed was a deacon in church. And one night he got up and said, "Listen," he said, "I helped put these bathrooms in here. I'll take them out of here. If you get up in this service one more time, go back there and get a drink of water." And they knew he was serious. If you can't sit through a church service without having problems, you got a problem. You need revival. Huh? Bro Jack, I have never seen you get up and just go out and... How come some people got to go 10 times a service?
I don't know.
They got a problem. It's a heart problem. You need revival. There's some people never sit through a service. You got a problem. There's some people, I believe, they pinch children so they can grab them up and take them out. I remember when the Ellises used to tell us Elena was a devil child. She sits right there fine every Sunday night. The problem is the father. Look at him. Guilty. Look at him. Look at him. It's all over his face. When your ears tune out preaching, you need revival. You know you need revival when your tears for the lost and wayward are dried up. The psalmist said, "Put thou my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book?" God records every tear shed for a soul or for brokenness. It's amazing. We can watch Old Yeller get shot at the end of a movie and bawl like babies. But you mentioned about folks raising their hands saying, "Pray for my lost loved one." And that don't affect us. And then I've seen some people that want us to pray for their lost loved ones and they don't even pray for them. When your tears are dried up, you need revival. You ought to look at this old world. I challenge you, just go somewhere. Go sit at the mall. Just sit down and look at people. Just watch them walk by. Look at the aimless faces. Look at the wickedness hanging off of people. It'll break your heart. If it don't break your heart, you need revival. Seeing these storms hit these homes and knowing families are going to be disrupted and knowing life's going to be lost and people very well may die and go to hell, that ought to break your heart.
Sure.
Can I say? When your trips to the altar are few and far between, you need revival.
Amen.
The altar is not a place where you're coming forward saying, "I'm a sorry, no good sinner, and I need some help here."
Right.
The altar is a place where something dies.
Yeah.
And the Apostle Paul said he had to die daily.
Yep.
Now, I've never met anybody that had as much God on him as the Apostle Paul did. And if he had to die out daily to sin and self,
yes,
how much do we have to die out? And the altar, it's a place where we can come and die out to some things. The altar's a place where we can come and offer some things to the Lord. When's the last time you just came and offered thanksgiving to God for how good He's been to you? The altar's a place to do business with God. And when we don't let the altar become part of our worship, we need revival. It's the first thing we did when we built this church, when I designed this church and sat down to look at it, we said, "We're going to have an altar," because those of you who was here in the old church, we didn't have an altar. It needs to be a place where we can do business with God. And when your trips to the altar become fewer and fewer and farther in between, you need revival. Some of the best times I've ever had in Christian life is me and God on an altar. He floods my soul with himself.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about what David was saying when he strengthened my soul.
Yeah. Amen.
You just may need revival when your thanksgiving and praise turns to moaning and complaining. Every one of us is reaping better than we sow.
Amen.
The Bible says in everything, give thanks.
Amen.
A lot of our thanksgiving and praise to God turns into moaning and complaining. Woe is me. I got it so rough. Listen to Miss Brandy before she sang, thanking God for the grace and all that's befallen her this year. I know people would be blaming God.
Amen.
You ought to be thankful you didn't get a phone call this year. It's cancer. I'm glad God's helped some that's got phone calls like that this year.
Amen. Yes, preacher.
But that very well could have been you. He's no respecter of persons.
That's right.
Let me say this lastly. You just may need revival when your troubles stir up fear rather than faith. The Bible makes it very clear that those that are blood washed, those that are born again, your life is no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to not put more on us than we're able to bear. He's also promised with temptation to make a way of escape. And so therefore, when I read the scriptures and find out that I'm in His hand, and His hand's in the Father's hand, and that for anything to get to me, it has to come through the Father's hand and then His hand.
Sure.
And then I know by the time it gets to me, it's been sanctioned by the Father and the Son. So therefore, if God's allowed it to come into my life, it's come for my betterment, as Brother Jordan had on his devotion today. It's not come because God's against me. God has a reason for it. I may not ever find out in this lifetime why it came my way. It may come to strengthen me. It may come to break me. It may come because it doesn't have anything to do with me at all. It may be somebody watching me and wants to see if my God is good enough to deliver.
Amen.
But I do know this, if it comes my way, it has a purpose.
Sure.
And what it should do is strengthen my faith. That God thinks so much of me, that He allows it to come into my life, that I ought to get so close to Him that He can use it for His glory.
Amen.
But most people, when bad news comes, it turns into fear and not faith. And that's when you need revival. Because when you're walking with Jesus, you find there is a peace that passeth all understanding. But when you're walking astray from Jesus, there is no peace. Therefore, it's not faith, but fear that overcomes you. And it might be the trouble came to bring you back to Jesus. So let me ask you, do you need revival? The psalmist said, O Lord, wilt thou not revive us again?
Amen.
The Lord does want to revive us.
Yeah, sure.
The Lord wants us to walk in the fullness of Him. And if there's anything lacking, the Lord desires for that lackingness to be put aside. So He wants to revive us. The real question is not, wilt thou not revive us? The real question is, will we be revived? Christian's coming home this weekend. We went to the grocery today. I noticed my wife was buying all the food that Christian likes. Which doesn't bother me because I like all the same food. All she's got to do is put her hands on it. I like it. I've never just seen Jordan come in and said, oh, we're eating all this again. No, he likes it too. That's how he got that big. Last weekend when Sydney was home, we had Sydney's favorite food. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say Mama wants to always make certain she has exactly what her children need and like. She wants them to feel special. Can I say? They say the closest thing to God's love in this world is the love of a mother for her child. Can I say, God wants you to have the best of what He has to offer. He wants you to enjoy being around His table. He misses your fellowship, and He's longing for you to enjoy being in His presence. So does He want you to be revived? Oh, yes. And He's willing to put whatever it takes in front of you. The real question is, will you and will I be revived? It gets back to David's willingness to worship. We have to have a willingness to be revived. We see why David worshiped. We see why we need to be revived. But then he wished to worship. And we need to get to where we wish to be revived.
That's right.
And when we desire to be revived, bad enough to be willing to be revived, we will be revived. So the onus isn't on whether or not God shows up. The onus is whether or not we show up willing to be revived. Do you need revival? Why wait till next week? Why not start tonight?
Amen.
Lord, create in me a clean heart.
Yes.
That I might willingly worship you the way you desire to be worshipped. Let's all stand. Brother Clint, come get a song. Folks are already coming. They're picking out a song. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful example through your servant David. David, who was a nobody and you anointed him to be king. David, who you enhanced to take down the giant and then the enemies. Then David, who was sought to be destroyed himself. Then David, when he became king. And then David, when he utterly, utterly failed you. But then, God, you restored him and you forgave him. And all through his life, we can see so many paradoxes to the life of a Christian. Lord, you came to where we was and you found us. Then, God, you enabled us. And, Lord, you gave us victory. And, Lord, too many times we've failed you. But yet, God, you're willing to forgive and restore. And, God, we bless your holy name. Now, Father, we know that you're willing to send revival. Lord, do a work in our hearts where we're willing to be revived. Help us, Lord, to not allow anything to hinder revival in our own heart. Help us individually to be revived and then corporately revive our church. Lord, that we might see this community set on fire for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Lord, I've said it many times. The world is yet to see one church totally sold out for Christ. Lord, I would to God. We would. Father, bless. Speak to hearts. Help folks to see if they need to be revived. And then, God, help them to do whatever it takes to be revived. God, get glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.